In our series on the Exodus story, and this is the story, the ancient story of how God freed God's people, the Israelites, from their bondage and slavery in Egypt and led them to freedom. And it's foundational to our faith. It helps us understand how God frees us and delivers us and goes to great lengths to bring us to our promised land, which is a new life in Christ Jesus. And if you've missed the past few weeks, I invite you to go back and look on our webpage or on our YouTube or in our church app, where you can find out all kinds of great information about our church and catch up and see what all you missed. But last week, we heard and we learned how God delivered the Israelites from Pharaoh again and Pharaoh's army by leading them through the Red Sea. And today, we continue that story as we learn how God begins to provide for the people while they're in the desert wilderness. I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me to Exodus chapter 16 and follow along as we hear the good news here from verses 13 through 21. Listen carefully. In the evening, a flock of quail flew down and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the desert surface were thin as frost on the ground. And when the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" Because they didn't know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Collect as much of it as each of you can eat. One omer, which is about 2.5 liters per person. You may collect for the number of people in your household." And the Israelites did as Moses said, some collecting more, some less. But when they measured it out by the omer, the ones who had collected more had nothing left over, and the ones who had collected less had no shortage. And everyone collected just as much as they could eat. And Moses said to them, "Don't keep any of it until morning." But they didn't listen to Moses, and some kept part of it until morning but it became infested with worms and stank, and Moses got angry with them. Yet every morning they gathered it as much as each person could eat, but when the sun grew hot, it melted away. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we worship you today and meditate on these passages, open up our hearts to receive your goodness in our weakness and to receive your power and strength of love for all. In Jesus' name, amen. So they're free. They're finally free. They're free from bondage and slavery. They're free from Pharaoh. They're free from Pharaoh's army. And it's time to celebrate. And we're making camp in the desert oasis of Elim that has 12 fresh springs and 70 palm trees. There's cool water, palm trees with dates and shade, and we're in the lap of luxury in the midst of the barren wilderness. Surely this is symbols of God's provision. And after 45 days of freedom from Egypt, it's time to get moving. It's time to leave the oasis behind and head out into the desert, making our way through the Sin Desert to Sinai, where we will camp and worship God. And while the wilderness of sin is not named after our English word, it is certainly appropriate. Because God didn't rescue them from their bondage to sit on their behind. God rescued them to know who God is and to worship God and to lead them to the promised land. And the people, once they leave that oasis and they start moving through the desert, they are not happy. I mean, no sooner are they on the road than the big complaints start rolling in. And you know, when you're leading people through a difficult season, you don't always know if they're following you or chasing you with torches and pitchforks. And I imagine Moses experienced both, because one moment they're praising God and telling Moses how great things are, and the next they're complaining to Moses and about Moses to anyone who would listen. But just as they had complained about dying in the desert to Pharaoh's army on the shore of the Red Sea, now they're complaining of how they're there and they're going to starve to death. Oh, how we wish that the Lord had just put us to death while we were still in the land of Egypt. Because at least then we could sit by our pots of meat as it cooked, and we could eat our fill of bread. Numbers 11:4 puts it this way. It says, the riffraff among them had a strong craving, and they cried, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt with the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic, but now our lives are wasting away. It's like we miss the good old days, you know, of slavery and bondage and backbreaking labor and murdering our children. You know, and after all that God was doing for them and all that God had done for them, they were so quick to complain. And it makes us realize how quickly we forget what God has done for us, and maybe even what God is doing for us right now. Yet in the midst of their complaints, Moses encouraged the Israelites and said, come near to God. Because Adonai, the Lord God, who was and who is and who will be, has heard your complaint. And God will feed you. God will bring you bread and meat and all that you can eat. In the evening, God will provide meat. And in the morning, God will provide bread. And Moses instructed them, you're to get up, get busy, and collect every day. Collect the bread that you find, but only collect what you will eat and nothing more and nothing less. Except on the sixth day, you will collect 2 days' worth, so you do not have to collect on the seventh day. That way, you can rest and relax on the Sabbath. And the bread, it will appear on the ground around you in the midst as the dew rises. And when they discovered the bread in the morning, it was thin as frost, and they gathered in flakes, and it tasted like coriander seed, and its color was like resin, and they called it manna, which literally means, what is it? But it was their daily sustenance. It was literally their daily bread from heaven. In the evening, as the sun began to set, God sent quail from the sea who flew and landed in the camp. They were literally flying over from the south of Africa or over the Gulf there, and they were exhausted, so exhausted that when they landed, they couldn't move, and they were easy to catch up by hand and clean and cook on their campfires in the evening. And the people rejoiced because they had all the bread and all the meat that they could eat, and they got creative with the manna. They collect it, and they grind it with millstones and pound it with their mortar, and they would boil it in pots and make it into cakes, and it tasted like cakes baked in olive oil. This is a symbol that God used perfectly natural things to take care of God's people, reminding us that God works in both the supernatural as well as the usual, everyday, natural way. And there were those who collected less, they did not lack, and those who collected more didn't have an abundance. Everyone had exactly what they needed. And everyone made full use of their day. And each day they got up and they worked and they collected, and they were to consume that day and what they collected to the fullest. Just as we are with our days, we are to make the most of our days and consume them to the fullest. But here's the flip side. Despite what God did and what Moses said, not everyone trusted God and not everyone listened to Moses, God's appointed leader. Some of them collected more than they needed, and they kept it for themselves and hid it away. And whenever they did, guess what? It rotted. It went to waste. It was infested with worms and it stank. And everyone in camp knew what you did. But every day, God's mercies were new. Every day they got up and they gathered manna. Except on the sixth day when they collected double, And that day, it lasted perfectly preserved for the seventh day. And that was their day of rest. That even in the midst of their escape, in the middle of moving, in the act of searching out to fulfill the promises of God, God was with them and God was leading them to a time of rest. And every year, in every week, they continued to gather to remember and to celebrate and to give thanks to God. They constantly reminded one another of how God was with them and how God provided for them. And today, we are gathered here on a day of rest. We gather to worship God just as God's ancient people did. And we gather here to celebrate communion with bread from heaven. We are here to experience God's presence through Jesus Christ, who is with us to the fullest. See, Jesus made it clear that we are to consume him to the fullest. One day, after feeding thousands of people with a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish, suddenly crowds of thousands and thousands began to follow Jesus everywhere. There were already crowds, but now they've been multiplied. Everywhere that Jesus went, the crowds were there. He could not escape, and the only way to escape was to get out in the boat and to sail across the sea. But even then, they would wait on the seashore for Jesus to come back and to arrive. And one day, as Jesus was coming to land on the shore, the crowds were already there waiting for him. And he gets off the boat, and he says, "Don't work for the food that doesn't last, but work for the food that endures for eternal life." And he went on to say, "I assure you that it wasn't Moses who gave you bread from heaven to you, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. And the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives his life to the world." And the people get excited when they hear this, and they said, "We want this bread. Give us this bread. Let us have this bread." And Jesus says, and he proclaims, he says, "I am the bread. I am the bread of life. And whoever comes to me, they will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me, they will never be thirsty." Because that's Jesus. When we find our faith in him and we follow him and we trust in him, he changes our life. And if you allow him to lead you through your wilderness or through your mission or through your journey called life, you will find that you have what you need, because Jesus provides and Jesus will satisfy your hunger. But as you go, remember that it's not a solo mission. Moses did not go on his own. He had his brother Aaron with him, and he had the rest of the people with him. And the people, they did not go on their own as individuals. They went together with their family, with their tribes, with the whole nation, with the congregation. They went together, because together God provides what we need. So if you're here today and your stomach is hungry, see me after the service and I will feed you food. Because through the love of Christ, this is what we do. This is who we are. This is what God has called us to do. Yet if your soul is hungering for something from God, if your heart feels empty and it's longing to be fulfilled, if you're going through a desert and you're searching for an oasis, where you find yourself reminiscing about the days of old and those good old days, even though they really weren't that good, then I encourage you, come near to God. Because Jesus has something for you. And you're invited to experience his holy presence, his mercy, and his grace, and his love at his table. It's not my table. It's not the table of the United Methodist Church. This is the table of Christ. This is Jesus' table. And it's full of his love, it's full of his mercy, and it's for you. You are invited. You are invited. You're all invited. So let us prepare our hearts and celebrate together. Amen.